You feel like this is going in a direction that you like?
Yeah.
You feel like this is interesting?
It's so interesting.
Okay, all right.
Are you saying it's not?
No, you know what? Who knows? I feel like you're doing a good job.
I'm having fun.
Welcome to The Yarn, a School Library Journal production. I'm Colby Sharp. Today, we continue our Unraveler series with author-illustrator, Instagram legend, Mike Lowry. I sat down with Mike last November in Atlanta during NCTE's annual conference. In each Unraveler episode, a book creator takes us inside one of their books, their inspirations, fears, frustrations, triumphs, epiphanies, the whole thing pulled apart, unraveled. Today, Mike talks about his Doodle Adventure series. He shares where he got the idea for Doodle Adventures, the reaction he is seeing from librarians, and why he left the book so open-ended. Take it away, Mike.
I'm Mike Lowry, and I wrote Doodle Adventures, the Search for the Slimy Space Slugs for Workman Publishing.
Brian Little.
For the last little bit, I've been working on a series of books that are called Doodle Adventures, and they're kind of like a mix of Mad Libs meets a doodle book meets a graphic novel. And the reader is encouraged to fill in the blanks to help finish the story of the books. The idea comes from basically in my... I really like graphic novels a lot, and I keep a sketchbook, and I do a lot of drawing, and I really wanted to do a book where it would combine my love for drawing and also my love for graphic novels, and telling stories sequentially the way that a graphic novel does. So I went to Workman, my publisher, and had some little bits of an idea. And one of the main ideas out of the beginning was that I really wanted to draw slimy slugs. And then later I wanted to make pizza jokes. Because, you know, when I was 13, basically it was the height of my humor level. And then I have sort of plateaued and then gone slowly down in my jokes. So I came up with these pizza jokes and approached the publisher and I told him I wanted to do it in this way. And initially it was going to be one of these sort of cheap doodle book type books, cheap paper, rough newsprint that you would kind of draw and throw away. And then I talked with my publisher, Daniel, for a while, and or my editor, Daniel, for a while, and he, you know, really suggested, why don't we come up with a book that people will want to keep, something that they'll want to, after they fill it out, that they would want to revisit it, but then also maybe somebody else would want to revisit it. Yeah, I wanted something that when the kid or whoever filled it out was done with it, that it wouldn't just be something that they would trash, that it would be something that there's enough of a story that somebody else would actually want to read it. So, something interesting that's been happening is, one, is that all of the people that are sending me pictures of these books filled out are, most of them are adults that are buying the book. Either they buy them for the kid or they see it, I don't know, online somewhere, whatever. And so more adults are filling it out than I expected. But then also librarians who we thought would hate the book, right? Because you have to draw in the book, which isn't always the best fit for library books. They've been writing us and saying that they will get a couple of copies. They'll let one or two kids fill it out, and then they list them as co-authors of the book so that when other kids come into the library to check books out, they're, you know, checking out one of their friends' books. It's interesting with this book, the vision, we left it really open-ended because I didn't want something where I would just say, okay, now draw a funny shark, right? And then you give it to 12 kids and then maybe 11 of them are roughly the same. So we decided instead to make the prompts really loose to where it would say something like, draw something salty. And one kid might draw a pretzel, one kid might draw french fries, but then another kid might draw like a sea captain, you know, or a jellyfish or something really unexpected like that. I feel really thankful that kids get these kind of jokes immediately, better than expected. You know, they can see that it's about in the second book is about a pizza pirate, and that is the joke, right? Like, they don't need somebody holding their hands and walking them through, like, why this is a funny thing. And so I think two things that have come out is, one, that they think that it's funny, and then they're creating their own jokes in the books. I like that, when the kids are actually then forced to kind of come up with these little jokes on their own. But then also, I've started getting emails and stuff from kids who are now keeping sketchbooks that they didn't do before, which, honestly, if there's one good thing that can come out of me going and talking at schools or a book like this, would be if kids start keeping a sketchbook. I did. I started keeping a sketchbook. My mom, my grandmother was a painter, and she really pushed sketchbooks when I was in, you know, elementary school, junior high. And I never really did it a lot until college, but I keep one all the time now. And it's a huge part of my day. And so the idea that now kids are keeping sketchbooks, this is encouraging. It's really exciting for me to hear that. I think that there's an age where kids start trying to decide whether a drawing is good or bad. Before a certain age, and it's usually around 6 or 7, before a certain age, drawing is just drawing. But then around that age, they start analyzing whether it's good or bad. And my own daughter, who's 9 now, who's drawn for, you know, as long as she could, I guess, she has just recently started saying, I don't know how to draw this thing, or I don't know how to, or this is, I can't draw these things well. And I think that's all. I mean, of course, that's just part of the culture, that up until a kid is a certain age, as downtime, they're just handed crayons or markers or that sort of thing. But that starts to die out. I mean, obviously, you know, not to sound like just rehash this thing, but of course kids are handed phones and iPads and stuff now more than they, I don't know, more than they would have been when they're really small. So I think that the point of a book like this is to not make them think. It kind of gives them enough blanks to fill in that they're not just sitting there not knowing, having any idea what they should be drawing. This series started out easier than expected in some ways, because I had a rough idea that it would be this fill-in-the-blank kind of graphic novel. And then when I approached the editor about it, he agreed with it. He threw out ideas too. So it started really well, and I really strong. And I came up with a cover first, which is not generally, you know, normally you would come up with an outline or characters. But I came up with a cover because I wanted it to set the idea of the book in place or whatever. And then the hardest thing that I had to do with this book is generally, so for the last, I guess, 10 or 15 years, I've been illustrating other people's manuscripts. And I get their manuscript, I sit down, I start making characters based on their stories. But with this one, I was making up the characters while I was writing it, and I had to come up with a different way of working creatively. Normally, I can just sit in a coffee shop and start making sketches, and there's music playing. In the coffee shop that I go to, you know, it kind of alternates between some random Smiths album or whatever, and then like the Cars, and you know, that seems fine. But with writing, that stuff was really distracting. And so I had to start a new routine where I would have to get by myself and sit and try and make notes. And just, I really had to work very differently. And it was a new process that I had to figure out that I wasn't really used to. But then, you know, again, it's in a lot of ways, this form of writing, you know, I wrote exactly the type of thing that I know and the kind of jokes that I like to make. So it started filling in the blanks once I kind of got the routine down of working like that. The initial hope is that kids would just think that it's funny, and they like the drawings, and they would like the characters in it, and it would really get them interested in drawing their own stuff in the books. But obviously, I hope that the kids, like I mentioned before, you know, that some kids have started keeping sketchbooks because of it. And my hope would be that kids would just draw more. People talk a lot right now about reluctant readers, but there's also reluctant artists that maybe don't draw as much as they did when they were a lot smaller, or as much as they could, and they could be encouraged to do that. Hopefully this series encourages that kind of person. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Yarn. Thank you, Philip Stead, for creating our theme song. A shout out to my partner in crime, my editing help buddy, Travis Jonker. Or is it Yonker? Jonker? Yonker? I don't know. Potato, potato. Additional music for this episode comes from Ryan Little via the Free Music Archive. If you have an idea for an episode or season of The Yarn, if you just want to chat about books, send us an email, theyarnpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Colby Sharp. Thanks for listening.